Hey guys, it's the Musky 360 Canada edition. I'm Danny Herbeck. I once again tracked down Joe, and we're ready to rock and roll. Joe, what's going on?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. It's been a good, you know, kind of wrapping up the season weeks here, so it's been fun.
You know, it's kind of a really bittersweet fall. Normally, by the time I'm pulling my boat, I'm over it. I'm done with it. I can't wait to move on to the next part of my life. But I'm kind of sad right now. Like, I don't feel like, yeah, we had some great fall fishing, but I don't feel like the best is still yet to come in my opinion. Like, our water temps are still crazy warm. You know, the fish aren't, they're biting. You're having to grind on them a little bit at times. But those major, really days where you get a bunch of bites haven't really happened yet.
Yeah, you don't really feel like you've caught the fall bite until you like break some gear in your boat or something because it's all so frozen. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes.
I mean, we haven't had a hard frost up here yet. No. It's hard to pack your gear away when you haven't had to shovel your boat out at least once or twice.
Man, it has been nice. Like the weather out there, there's been days where I'm like, this is unbelievable. And then I say, well, but like the fishing would be probably a little bit better if we were miserable.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet deal. I still feel like, looking at the long range, we have a couple weeks of, potential warm weather where a guy could, not pick and choose his days, but, come up here and, be able to get, 3-4 days of hardcore fishing in without really having to worry about anything.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's what I'm worried is, it's going to go from just a little too warm to just, extremely cold, and those water temps will just plummet and
it'll shut.
I don't see anything like that in the forecast, but hopefully it kind of, if it can cool down here just a couple more degrees, that would be perfect. Like that's, if we can get down into the mid 40s at least before it goes into that like flash freeze, which hopefully doesn't happen, but I have a feeling that's going to be the way it goes. But yeah, we could still catch some really good fall window here. I mean, we're just starting to get into the 40s now. So
yeah, I haven't even seen that. I mean, my last day, I just finished up, shooting a show with Gillespie, and that was on Sunday, and now I was seeing 50 to 53 degree water. So I mean, we haven't even hit like the prime bite water yet, and there's a lot of fish around, but it was really wild how they were still kind of negative. We were seeing a lot of fish that would chase baits and not bite, or look at suckers and not bite, and the bite windows were like crazy, crazy short. Like one spot you could wheel up and there'd be like 8 or 10 fish around on one spot, and you'd get one or two of them to bite, and you would think, oh man, here we go, like it's wide open, get ready. And then you wheel into the next spot and ghost town, it'd be like completely shut off already again, and you'd get like two of those a day. And then the rest of the time, it was just kind of, fish lazily following baits, grabbing suckers, dropping them, that type of stuff. It was kind of a weird, weird last week.
Yeah, definitely. We, the last week or so they've been a little bit off compared to what they were the week before, for sure. I mean, we had right before the full moon, we had some pretty crazy days. I had one 7 fish day that was pretty awesome. And we were still getting some big fish even, about this time last week, we got a couple big ones, but seeing a lot less action throughout the day, but, still fine. We've the last few days here, especially, we've switched back to casting. They're kind of up on some shallower structure, and that's been pretty fun. Still having more encounters than bites. But yeah, I kind of like when they move up for this little window. This casting window kind of happens every year right around 50 degrees. And it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it was same exact thing here. Like, you know, last week and the week prior, you were encountering a lot of fish off that edge. So that, you know, that vertical presentation or running a sucker along the edge was always going to drum you up a few bites during the day. And then it seemed like just overnight that whole program just disappeared and you weren't encountering fish unless you were casting up in structure. Most of those fish were coming, you know, from watching on the screen, most of the fish were coming out of that 6 to 12 foot zone and they were right up in the boulders. You couldn't see them until, you know, your bait would go over them. You'd see them come screaming out of the rocks. And I mean, you could drag a sucker around underneath the boat all day and you wouldn't get a fish to even look at a sucker unless you pulled it off the rocks and it swam down and looked at the sucker. So the bulk majority of the fish had moved up shallow. Now, I want to keep going because I know with the amount of fish that we were seeing up shallow last week, when they do turn on, it's going to be an absolute slugfest.
Man, it's awesome because they kind of, you know, they move up shallow there and it kind of seems like, it's almost like they get a little bit of a break. And then when they pull back out, they're fresh again. And, it's like you get to start over from where we were like 2 weeks ago.
I just think everything's kind of in a limbo. The, you know, the bait wants, you know, the sunlight hours and, you know, the time of year is telling the bait to do what it needs to do. Like the Ciscos, they're like, okay, it's time to spawn, you know, but the water's just keeping them. Like everything is in a limbo. Everything's moving around still a pile. I mean, same thing as we've had all year, shifting winds, you know, and quite a bit of wind still for, you know, this late in the fall. And everything is just, you know, in limbo waiting for the right time, which, you know, the time of year, the sun, the moon, the daylight hours, everything is saying it should be there, but the water is just too warm yet.
It really has been the theme all season that that fish are stuck in transition. That's been like the story of the year.
Yep, 100%, 100%. But I mean, you know, since, you know, I had been throwing a primarily a rubber deal, and when those fish, you know, fall is always, you know, controlled by rubber. Everybody thinks you got to throw rubber, which is, you know, a great bet. But when those fish moved up into that little shallower, you know, water column there, they were up on the rocks. I did start throwing a lot more cranks, you know, and especially when they're in that little bit more of a, you know, negative mood, I feel like a crankbait, you can get them to trigger a little bit more when you're ripping on it. You know, you get that bait to turn sideways and kind of get a little bit more of a reactionary bite than, you know, that slow kind of just thumping rubber coming by them when they're not really in a hard feeding mode. A lot of times you can kind of trip their trigger throwing a crank. So throwing, you know, a lot of like lipped crankbaits like grandmas, triple D's, you know, ripping on some raiders, that type of stuff. And seemed to get more active fish coming to the boat versus just a lazy sauntering follow on a tube or, a rubber. That crosstail was still bringing fish to the boat, but it seemed like the more active fish were coming on cranks.
Yeah, that rip stop retrieve on a crankbait. I like Jake's especially, like, yeah, super deadly. Bar Fighter was bringing in some fish and Dive and Rise baits. That Titan is still working. You can throw the weight on that and get it a little deeper, but like you were saying, they're up in that. I was finding pretty much, it's crazy how it kind of is identical now to the spots. Like, I mean, same exact thing. Boulders, really important to have boulders there. It's got to be broken rock.
It was wild how you could be watching, you know, on forward facing and you're fishing your normal bar. Like generally, I'm not ever really watching my baits on forward facing. I'm always kind of looking out off the edge. So when I run my boat, so I'm never burning spots, kind of is how I generally use it. And so I started swinging it up and watching the structure to watch baits because I wanted to know when a fish was coming so I could try and, you know, navigate the boat to get the sucker on it. And you could almost call shot for shot where those muskies were going to sit. You could look up on that structure and it'd be all broken rock and there would be one big boulder and that fish would be sitting right next to that one big boulder. And I could literally say, there's, you know, like this is the cast, watch the bait. The bait would creep up over that big boulder. here it come, and right up on the bait. Like, it was, they were so predictable where they were going to be. Now, I wish I could have made them all bite, but you can almost bank cast for cast where that fish would be sitting.
Yeah, you know, I run my scope on the trolling motor, and with the wind that we've had, it's a lot less effective, especially for, you know, taking a quick peek over and seeing if there's anything behind a lure coming in. But that's always so exciting. Like, we're casting, and I'll just really quickly spin the trolling motor over to kind of glance towards our baits and see what's happening, and make sure, you know, the guys are running them deep enough if we're throwing rubber or whatever. And it's like, you just get it. I mean, it shows up for a split second, but you know, there's a fish behind the bait. Like, I just run it past and I'm like, there's one on you. It's always like heart stopping.
You're better off not telling them anything, because the minute it turns into a complete cluster nightmare. You know, they do a perfect figure eight every cast. There's not a fish behind the bait, but the minute you tell them there's a fish coming, it goes south in a real quick hurry, it seems like.
My favorite is like, there's a fish on you. And then they're like, who? And I'm like, I don't know, but just somebody has a fish on them.
Everybody just work the bait right and do a good figure eight.
Like, everybody do a really good job right now. I have the GoPros going in the boat most of the time, and I get back in at the end of the day and listen to myself, like my reactions when I'm watching the screen, and I'm just like, it sounds like I'm a chimp or something. Like, I'm I can't even.
Especially when you see them like swing up on the bait and miss it, and you're like, ah, ah, ah. They're like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't get fish.
yeah, and I'm freaking out, and they're like, what is wrong with this guy? I'm like, just fucking do better.
Like I said, this last week, you know, we had to grind on some fish. We were getting bites every day, but major short windows, and the fall bite, I feel like, you know, and like we haven't even got to the point where you can't cast and you're stuck trolling yet. So, I mean, like, when is that going to come? You know, like, because there's usually a really good fall trolling bite that can be had. And, like, we haven't had the cold enough temps to stop a guy from casting. And, you know, like, I don't know. It's such a crazy, crazy fall. And like I said, I don't want to quit. I have probably another 2 weeks that I pulled my boat. I got it all cleaned out. I'm ready for, at the drop of a hat, if somebody wants to shoot up here, got a couple day window, you know, give me a call, and I'm itching to get back out there and make it happen, because this could be a really, truly epic fall the way things are setting up.
Well, and it is right now. Like, today is kind of the first day looking at the forecast where we're going to have some low temperatures down closer to the freezing point, high temperatures that are, you know, in the 40s, and I think we're going to see the water temps start to get into where we really like them here in the next few days. So,
yeah. And I mean, like, talking, nobody, like, the lake, you're going to have the lake tier. Well, Lake of the Woods, maybe not so much. There's always guys out there, but Eagle, every camp is shut down. I'm going to have the whole lake to myself. And so these fish, you know, aren't going to be pressured whatsoever. So you're going to see even more fish sliding up on structure. And like, when you fish a spot, you know that it's going to be fresh. You're not going to be coming in right behind somebody or something. You know what I mean? Which, and it might not play that big of a factor fishing a spot behind somebody, but just your overall confidence and the going into the right mindset, you know, thinking, okay, I know I'm fishing fresh water the whole day, you know?
More than anything, I think it's just not having anybody in your way. Like, you know, like I'm not worried if I see somebody on a spot or something like that, but it's just that I want to be there and but yeah, that's same thing here. Like, this last week, there's been quite a bit of traffic out there, and well, even the week before with the full moon, but yeah, it's pretty much like everybody has their fall trips planned for the end of October. And then if I can just, you know, talk some of these guys to like forget about deer hunting and come get in the boat with me, that's what I'm really hoping for.
That's the thing. Like, I run always run a week of deer hunts this week, and so I had some guys, you know, kind of wanting to come up, and I'm like, well, I got to kind of commit to these deer hunts that I have. So I'm like, well, next week I can do it. Well, now my hunters came up, and then the first day they both tagged out, and they're heading home today. So now I got the whole rest of this week and, you know, next week and the following week with, you know, an open schedule. And I'm like, well, God, I want to get back out there so bad. You know, like, I've never felt so fired up at the end of the season to stay fishing. I'm usually so far done and so far over it by now that the last thing I want to do is look at my boat or a musky rod.
Man, we've normally had at least a week of frosty mornings at some point up, you know, to this point in the season. There's normally at least a whole week where you've had some frosty mornings. We haven't had a single one yet.
There's been no misery.
Yeah, no, I need to be, I haven't even had to wear gloves out there. No, I mean, it's ridiculous.
I have not popped one hand warmer all year.
But, you know, I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was now, probably like 10 years ago or something. We had a fall like this where it was like middle of November even, and we were out there in sweatshirts. But then once the cold showed up, it was real cold, and it didn't quit until like end of April. I mean, it was, I think it might have been that year that the ice didn't go off Lake of the Woods until May 18th, where we had actually a pretty warm fall. And then once it finally got cold, it just plummeted down there and didn't quit. You know, we didn't have like the last few years where it cools down and then it warms back up, you know. And but yeah, I'm same thing here, man. I got a wide open schedule. I just wrapped up my last few guide days last week, and I got some buddies coming up and stuff like that, and some guys that are kind of contemplating coming up but haven't set the dates yet. And yeah, we got like it's gonna be weeks before things are freezing up around the angle. Like 3 weeks, I bet, unless things change drastically, it's gonna be quite a while for any ice forming. So
yeah, it's definitely, I mean, the long range looks very promising, whether or not, you know, they're weathermen, they're the only people that get paid to be wrong. So, but
what about me?
Yeah, we get paid to act like we know what we're doing some days.
yeah,
but no, you know, like this, like we talked earlier before, this is kind of going to be our last regular weekly report, and then we're going to kind of go into more of a, you know, a monthly type deal, or whenever we're bored, you know, kind of catch up and do a thing and talk, you know, maybe some more, you know, summer strategy. Kind of what we expect for the season, you know, next season, you know, some hot baits, you know, what to kind of look forward with the companies we're working with, and, you know, what to look for new baits coming out that we've been throwing all year and stuff like that. But, you know, just to kind of, you know, like a season recap here, you know, of, you know, how the season went for you, you know, what you saw kind of, you know, leading into next year, what you're going to be, some things that you did this year differently, maybe that, you haven't done in the past, and what you're going to kind of bring over to next year, you know. This kind of what I want to kind of just, you know, an overall season recap of, you know, how things went for us, and then we'll kind of just play it by ear for the rest of the winter.
That sounds like a good plan to me. Yeah. I mean, that's, do you want me to start it off? Do you want me to start off the season recap?
Yeah, start it off. You can go, and then I'll try and, you know, one up you.
Perfect. That's perfect. I like that. I mean, really, yeah, it was a much different season on Lake of the Woods, that's for sure. Like the water, when the ice went off the lake, the water was extremely low. Everybody was worried about how low it was. And then, the water went up, you know, several feet very quickly. And when that happens, the weed growth gets, it's very noticeable with the lack of weeds throughout like the entire season. When the water starts out low and then goes up too fast, those weeds get left behind. They're not getting any sunlight, and they just don't end up coming up. And so, that made for a lot of the, big changes on a lot of spots. And then, the high water too, because of the water level being so high, the water never really warmed up. We were seeing surface temps that were showing like mid 70s even, But I think with the volume of water in the lake, the water column as a whole just didn't really get to where it needs to be. And like we were just saying, that kind of got fish stuck in transition a lot of times. And I ended up fishing throughout the entire season a lot more weeds than I normally do. There was not very many solid rock bites that lasted more than a couple days or something. We were kind of fishing, and not just fishing weeds, like not just fishing a weed patch that is in deeper water. We were kind of fishing a lot more of the super shallow stuff, like what we had talked about for the Muskie Cup, stuff like that. And you know, it was kind of frustrating at times because you'd pull into a spot where normally on a normal weed growth year, it would be exactly what we were looking for, and there just wasn't the weeds there. So it really did kind of turn into a season where I was going back to the same areas and finding fish, you know, in the same spots where I normally like to kind of keep her moving and you know, catch a few fish in an area and then probably not come back to that one for a little while. I was kind of forced to going back to the same spots over and over, which isn't a bad thing. We were having some good luck, but it was overall a good year. I throughout the summer portion, I'd say, like, if you wanted to wrap up the season as a whole, in the easiest way, I'd say it was overall kind of tough with windows of greatness throughout the season. That was like
100%. You had very good weeks where it was like you couldn't do anything wrong, and then you had weeks where you wanted to crawl in a hole and die.
Yeah, there was definitely days where I was headed out and I'm like, I don't even know where I'm going right now. Like, guys are like, well, what's the game plan? And I'm like, you tell me, man, I don't know. But no, the windows of greatness happened frequently enough that that, you know, it kept you going with confidence. But definitely a lot of days out there where you were kind of grinding, and so my big fish numbers were a little bit behind where they normally are. At this point in the season, like as far as 50s, had a lot of fish that were like 48 to 50. I think this had to have been, one of the years where I had so many fish that were close to the 50 mark, like, and just didn't quite get there. I don't know if I've had that happen as often as I did this year where, and I'm looking at it in the net, I'm like, oh yeah, you got your 50 here, buddy. And then it's like 49 and a quarter. And I'm like, dang, I shouldn't have said anything. But no, and very busy season. I was very busy this season. I had two stretches where I went like 30 days straight, one 35 days straight without a day off, and another one that was like 30 days straight. And that was good. I needed that because I did have to put a new motor on my boat in July. So I needed some business to climb back out of that hole. And that's kind of nice. You know, it hadn't really been super – I mean, I guess last season I was busy too, but it had been pretty much since the border closed, since I was going, you know, for a month straight like that. And I'm definitely can tell that it's been a longer amount of time since the border's closed than what you think. I mean, like 5 years or whatever. All of a sudden, it's a little bit harder for me to stay out there 30 days straight. But
yeah.
But no, I think that's a pretty brief wrap up on the year, at least for me. Is
what were your hot baits? You know, what did you end up finding clipped on your rods more so than not? You know,
diving rods baits were really, really kind of probably my, like, jerk baits, and that dive and rise action, that was probably my go-to for the most part. You know, I like working those baits through weeds, and when the fish are in the mood that they've been in or that they were in most of the season,
I agree 100%. I think, you know, with the up and down, like just the way the season kind of started off with the colder water temps, the fish were never like in those like super fired up moods for very long. So you had to use like more triggering baits on a lot of those days to get a response versus just cranking a bucktail over them and they'd come screaming out after it. Like overall, the fish as an overall whole for the whole season, they were never really that cranked up like you used to see.
I had very few days this season where I was throwing a bucktail or had somebody throwing a bucktail with confidence. You know, it's just like, well, we're throwing a bucktail right now because we just probably should be, you know, it's like, we got it. We're like, somebody should be throwing a bucktail because there's going to be like one fish at some point throughout the day that it comes screaming out. But yeah, that definitely never got on a good summer bite. Like, maybe was like 3 or 5 days here and there where it would kind of seem like it was about to open up, and then we'd get like a cold front or a little rain system that would come through and kind of push them back into the weeds. And
yeah, same. I mean it's basically the same mimicking story, but I mean, Eagle's a little bit clearer water than what you're fishing, at least most of the stretches. So mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, the main contributing factor to, you know, a lot of the stuff that you said that you didn't really touch on and why these fish were like stuck in transition and always kind of like one step behind of what we thought they should be the whole year. We would think they would be, you know, ramped up to another level, and they're always kind of just like one level down, it seemed like. And I think that all goes back to that crazy low water. We had a cold, you know, a spring that kind of never ended, right? It just never warmed up, but, you know, it was never that gradual warm. And then we had that, you know, that big influx of water, and all those fish, at least here, they spawned or did not spawn very, very late, right? Like when opening season here started, there was still muskies spawning.
Mm-hmm.
You have like that late spawn or fish that don't even spawn. It just, I feel like that sets up a whole, for the whole year, and they're just kind of always that one step behind, and it's taking them longer and longer to catch up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that contributed to like the whole, you know, up and down of the year, mind you. You know, like we never once did I see 80 degree surface water on Eagle. Not once. And I mean, normally on a normal year, there's stretches in, you know, June or not June, but July and August where you're like, well, maybe we should kind of just, you know, think real hard about casting today because I'm kind of concerned at this water being too warm for the fish, right? Or, you know, we really got to limit how we handle these fish.
Oh, yeah.
And we never got there all summer.
No.
So we had way colder water than we ever had for that time. And like on Eagle, for the bulk majority of the season, our fish stayed significantly deeper than they normally ever do. So like, yes, there was my bucktail bite all summer when, you know, June, July, August, when it's, you know, bucktails, that never existed. My bucktail bite never really ramped up till like September when it was like pre-turnover, when those fish were forced to go shallow, right? So then we were getting some more action on bucktails. But for the whole summer, it was, you know, like I threw rubber tubes, that Savage Gear Burbot tube. I mean, I would say I caught as many as 85% of my fish through the whole season on that bait. That bait was just a total killer in my boat. Like I lived and died by that bait. And then, you know, obviously now the fall kind of came around and the bucktail bite, well, you might be able to throw a bucktail and get some fish to chase it right now, to be honest with you, with the water temp the way it is. I never did it, but that crosstail that we developed with, you know, once again with Savage Gear, that was a major player for the fall for me. I mean, it was catching fish, seeing fish when normal other rubber baits weren't. And then now, you know, obviously the crankbait bite kind of picked up. But, you know, same thing with that crazy influx of water we had. Our weeds, You know, same thing. Our deeper weed beds never really got that good, so we were forced to fish, you know, shallower type weeds. And there were times when those fish got in them, but I would say through and through the whole year, I mean, I fished deeper rocks, a lot more humps, walleye humps than I typically do, and you know, a lot more, you know, the fish were not sitting up on those points; they were out off the first break, you know, in that. A lot of the fish were in that, you know, 12 to 20 foot zone when they're normally in that 6 to 10 foot zone all year. So that's why the, you know, those deeper rubber baits kind of seem to rule. And, you know, same thing with the fish there. The eagle has a crazy great population of muskies right now. I mean, there's more muskies in Eagle Lake than there ever has been. But then there was days where you're like, well, where are they all hiding? You know what I mean? Like, but there's a pile of that 40 to 46 inch fish right now. And then there's still obviously a great population of those giants. And I mean, I caught more big fish this year than I probably ever had. My numbers of like that 49 to 52 inch fish were down, but I had more numbers. I had lots of days, you know, when they were biting, like you said, those days, you know, lots of 2 to 4 fish days with, you know, 40 to 46 inch fish. And then all of a sudden you'd get a day where you'd only catch one, but it'd be an absolute giant. I mean, I caught this season, I ended up with two legal fish, two 54 inch plus fish. And I had probably 3 to 5 in that 52.5 to 53.5 inch range. So, I mean, I caught some really big fish, which was, you know, it's really nice to see those obviously, and saw some really big ones that we didn't catch, but I never this whole year never did see one of those like jaw droppers, you know, like one of those ones that are like that make you think about it for the whole season where that fish went. I never saw one of those this year, which that doesn't mean they're not there, but you know, with this fall the way it's shaping up, this might be the time to get them, you know.
Man, yeah, I got like a wicked echo coming on. There we go. Yeah, it was, well, this last week, gosh, how many over? I definitely had my best week for big fish of the whole season. I'm just looking right now to see. I think we had four 50 plus in that 1 week there. So that was, and big ones too. I mean, that was, yeah, from, let's see. Well, from the 16th to the, like the 22nd, 16th to the 22nd, yeah. Or 16th to the 24th? Yeah, like the 16th, yeah, that week there, basically the 16th to the 24th, that was a pretty epic week for big fish.
But, and you know what was wild? How much flat calm we had then, and we were catching those big fish.
Man, and so nice out. Like, yeah, I've got a couple pictures of these.
It was the complete polar opposite. You get those windy, cold days, and it was tough. You had those hot, flat, sunny days, and you were catching big fish. Like, I don't get it. It was really weird.
The first 50 incher out of that stretch there, the guy's in a t-shirt. Like, it looks like looks like we're fishing in August.
Yeah. And I mean, this year I noticed, you know, everybody like wants to focus on the full moon and it's a great big fish time. I had my best success leading into the full moon versus during the full moon this year. I paid very, very close attention to the moons and I didn't pay it while it was, but then it kind of happened and I was like, and then you'd see the tail off of the fishing after and you're like, what's causing this or why is it? And it was always that like week leading into the full moon was like money.
Yeah. That's kind of what always been my favorite, like the 5 days leading up to the day of the full moon has always been kind of what I feel like. And it is crazy how, you know, the spots that you've been fishing all season, all of a sudden you start seeing different big fish show up. And it just happens way too many times for it to be a coincidence.
And how many, like, of those big ones you caught, how many of them were those big white whales? All stone well, white.
We got that. We got one that was a real, real, like, the fish you're looking for in the fall. It was like 52 by 24. And that one was like the one that you want. That one was the perfect example of the ultimate fall fish. Like it was a big, pale, like just big head, belly, perfect fins. Yep. Oh my gosh.
And all those, like the bigger ones I caught were all like stone white. And it just, it led me to believe that a lot of those big fish all year stayed deep.
Oh, like, definitely.
You know what I mean? That's why we were at times really struggling, because just the way the season played out, a lot of those big fish were never coming shallow. And like this fall, you know, I caught a, you know, a 52 and a half, 53 inch fish with Gillespie last week on the show. That was like, it looked like that you covered it in white paint.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like if it would have had pink eyes, I would have called it an albino.
Yeah, they glow.
And yeah, just like it looked like a light bulb down there when it came up. And that was the same with all the big fish I caught all year. It didn't matter if it was in the summer or not. They were all just white. And I think just a lot of those big fish stayed really deep. And when, like, at some point they have to come shallow. They're going to come shallow this fall yet. It's just we just hadn't had the fall for it to happen yet. And that's why I'm so fired up to get out there again and try and make it happen. I really am, like, cause it's gotta happen. It hasn't happened all year.
Yeah. No, it's definitely like this final window from, you know, 46 down to 38 degree water. It's madness. Like that one year, it's probably 5 years ago now, we landed like 60 muskies in 11 days of fishing, and it was 42 of the 60 were over 45 inches. And it was that window from like 46 degrees down to 38 degrees. Like 6-8 fish a day, pretty much every day, and big ones. And it was just madness. And last year was similar too. I think last year it was like from basically right now until about November 10th, it was every day going out. It was like, there's no way it's going to be as good as yesterday. And then it would be. And what, you know, it's just awesome. And yeah, so we definitely, looking at the forecast right now, mine says that, like until November 13th, we got highs in the mid to high 40s, like, 50 degrees coming up, next weekend. And to where we need to be, it's not going to be that flash cold or anything. And I'm really pumped up about it. I got a wide open schedule. I'm hoping I can get some calls from some guys to come up. If not, I'm gonna go kidnap some buddies and make them get in the boat with me, because I need someone to take my picture at least. So
well, we were just talking earlier, I'm trying to get you up here and jump in my boat, and we'll try and make something happen too if we can't get anybody up here to fish with us.
Hell yeah, that's that would be a blast. I know there was one year, this is probably like almost 15 years ago now, I came back from doing some off-season work and put my boat in the water the first week of November, and I could not get anybody to go with me. I like posted on some Lake of the Woods Facebook musky fisherman group or whatever, like, you know, who wants to get in the boat? And I there was a couple buddies, or they're buddies now, a couple guys in Kenora that were like, hey, I'll hop in with you. I drove all the way to Kenora to pick them up, turned around, came all the way back, and we had just, you know, it was a riot. We talk about that all the time. It was, of course, like still learning a lot and everything, and you know, fish following in when you're reeling in your crankbait from a trolling run, and like just the craziest stuff. But I was willing to drive all the way across the lake just to get someone to fish with me. So
it's crazy how we want it to be over. Then when it's over, we don't want it to stop. It's a crazy sickness that we have. It really is.
Well, I always ask for fall to go on 2 weeks more. And it seems to be maybe like I'm kind of getting my wish a little bit this year, but I just want to have to pay for all that gas myself. So But yeah, if guys want to come up and go hammer time some fish, man, I am not afraid to say I'm ultra dialed in the fall. I think anybody will say it. They know that knows and has fished with me is, you know, I'm pretty deadly in the fall and we'll do well. And, it's just a matter of getting up here and finding some time to go do it. So, you know, like I was saying, my schedule's wide open. Guys should give me a shout if they're wanting to come up and we'll go hammer time some fish. And, yeah, that's all I got, I guess. I mean, I don't know. This guy's got to get up here.
No, well, you know, like to kind of wrap things up here, you know, I'm very, it kind of happened, you know, I started this off with a guy and it just didn't end up panning off. And, you know, I reached out to you and you were all game for it. You know, you've been real dependable and, you know, really offering great information for guys on, you know, on that are going to Lake of the Woods. I wanted to, you know, to thank you for sticking this through with me and, you know, starting this off with me. It's a really cool thing I think we have going here. And it's awesome to kind of actually sit down and talk muskies with, you know, a like-minded guy and the kind of the same, do a lot of the same stuff that, you know, we do together and that stuff. So it's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, no, this has been great. It's a lot of fun. It's really interesting to just kind of see what's happening there and here. And, we'll kind of keep it together a little bit this winter. And hopefully next year we can do this type of thing again. And maybe I can even like get you to let me start some drama, maybe to start some drama on the podcast. That'd be fun.
Yeah. No, I like talking to you every week because it really helped me out for the old Nestor Falls Muskie Cup. Kind of kept me a step ahead of the game and dialed me in before I even got there. So you might have not realized you were giving me info, but you were giving me info every week.
Oh, I did. I knew what was happening. But it's all just that was just bait for next year. I'm gonna send you for a loop, buddy. Oh, you better be ready.
Yeah. But no, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you if, you know, if somebody does have a clear schedule for this next 2 weeks and can jet up?
They should just probably clear their schedule and jet up. But my you can give me a shout, 218-280-3734, 218-280-3734. Yeah, that's right. Yep. So then I am around spotty service a lot of the time, but leave me a message. I'll get back to you and we'll get out there. You can shoot me an email. It's joecooper89@gmail.com. That's another good way to do it. Just cause of the spotty cell service, but I'm ready to rip and, just give me a shout and we'll get out there.
Yeah. The best way I get a hold of Joe, everybody, is usually just, call and leave the longest, most annoying voicemail you can, you know, kids screaming in the background, dogs, you know, for like 5-10 minutes. Then you talk for a couple minutes to kind of get him back in and then set the phone down, bang some pot and pans for a while, you know, and, you know, that usually gets him to call you back. So he'll get back a hold of you. He's pretty reliable on the phone. Same thing for me. If you want to get a hold of me and, you know, run up here, I do have, I got accommodations. I can get lined up for anybody or, you know, as simple as grab a motel, whatever you want to do. You can get a hold of me 807-216-8866. I have pretty good reliable service, or shoot me a text on that number. You can get a hold of me and we can dial things in. I'm ready to rock and roll the same thing. I'm really itching to get back out there. Like I said, I've said it 20 times. If I haven't said it one, this fall is not over, and there's a crazy bite window to capture yet.
Yep. You know what? I'll get up there and join you if nobody calls me here. So.
All right, man. Well, you stay safe. I'm sure we'll stay in touch and I know I talked with Stephen Paul briefly. He wants to kind of jump on this one day and kind of pick our brains about how the whole season went and all that. So.
Cool. Right on, man. Well, I'll give you